Welcome to Gnostic Insights. My name is Dr. Sid Ropp, and I'm your host. I started a blog called A Simple Explanation of Absolutely Everything, which later became my book of the same name. My first article on the Simple Explanation blog was posted June of 2010. And this is what is called a theory of everything, and it is a combination of scientific and spiritual insights. And I put them together as a theory of everything to explain how it is that our universe came to be and what are the basic forces that keep it running. I didn't do this from a traditional model. I developed a fresh model from scratch. Now, this was before I had read any of the Gnostic texts, and the spiritual material I used was basically the Tao Te Ching, the writings of the various yogis, the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, and then other more strange science books such as Stalking the Wild Pendulum and A Brief Tour of Higher Consciousness by Ishtok Bentov, books like Esoteric Anatomy by Bruce Berger, many books on Feng Shui, The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment, Brian Greene's The Elegant Universe, The Perennial Philosophy by Aldous Huxley, Be Here Now, of course, by Baba Ram Dass, and on and on. So these sorts of books that I had been reading fell into place within me and came out as a simple explanation of absolutely everything, where I simplified all of the wisdom that I had found so far and then synthesized it and wrote it out into a singular idea. So none of this came out of the Gnostic studies out of the Nag Hammadi library or the Qumran scriptures or anything like this. Then when I read the Nag Hammadi library and particularly the tripartite tractate, I saw how these worked very well with the simple explanation that I had already developed many years earlier. And so now at this point in my own development of my gnosis, the simple explanation is being woven into the Gnostic revelations that I have been reading about and having. And one of the odd things about the simple explanation, I continue to think of it as odd, but it seems to just be the way things are, is this idea of a shape to our universe. And that shape is the donut or the torus. And there have been previous episodes now on Gnostic Insights about the torus. And there are many, many articles on my Simple Explanation blog concerning the shape of the torus, why the torus, and the various dynamics that are inherent in that shape of the donut. Now, I realize that most of my listeners here at Gnostic Insights are looking for particularly Gnostic, with a capital G, insights, probably out of the Nag Hammadi. And it is mostly that indeed, as you've no doubt discovered. However, I do from time to time bring in concepts from the simple explanation in order to help round out the Gnostic insights. Because not all truth comes out of the Nag Hammadi. Some of the truth comes out of these other wisdom writings that other people have had. And I would include my simple explanation of absolutely everything as part of that. So in today's episode, we're going to look at the Taurus model once again, and we are going to diagram the location of our ego. So before I begin with that, Here is an article I'm going to read a bit to you from February of 2010, and it's called Nesting Toroidal Space. So continuing with the toroidal model, and torus is the word for a donut. It's a geometric shape, just like a cube or a sphere. The torus is a shape, and it is shaped like a donut. We're suggesting that the basic physical shape of our universe and everything in it is a torus. This shape can be inferred at the cosmic scale by the measurable forces at play in our universe. One example of this is the toroidal shape that has recently been inferred as enveloping our Milky Way galaxy. And it is believed to envelop every galaxy in the heavens, exerting a containing force that gives galaxies their dynamic shape and forces. This torus can also be inferred as the underlying shape of quantum probability clouds. Probability clouds have replaced the old school model of the nucleus with the orbiting electrons, the little planets and suns. Lately, physicists have realized that there are no little planets and suns, just a shimmering smear of a shape where particles might be found if they stopped moving. In quantum physics, this smear is called a probability cloud. Chapter 1 of my book, The Simple Explanation, suggests that this toroidal shape is the necessary shape of our universe. This originating torus shape separates our finite space-time continuum from the formless, timeless void of the conscious metaverse outside the toroidal shell. And in Gnostic studies, we call that basic consciousness the Father. Outside the universal toroid is nothingness. Inside it is our universe. The shell of this universal torus is pure consciousness that generates all of the physical, mathematical, and spiritual systems and laws that apply to our universe. The center point of the donut, the zero-point field of this universal torus, or universal unit of consciousness, produces an outward-moving vibration that enters our universe as an outwardly explosive energy source. This energy source generated the countless echoes of itself in the form of fractals streaming out from the singularity at the center. These toroidal echoes are each a unit of consciousness, identical to the originating unit of consciousness. You might say that consciousness turned inward to wall off a limited space that is our universe. The secondary units of consciousness, what in Gnostic studies we call second order of powers, which is everything that's alive from bacteria up through us, the secondary units of consciousness each represent a particular point of view due to their localization in time and space. And again, time and space only exists inside of our universal torus shape, because outside of the universal torus is pure consciousness, and there is no time, there is no material or shape outside in the Father. The first shape, we could say, is the Son, and that is when the Father had this thought of itself. And the Son is a perfect little fractal or replication, not little actually, infinite in size, of the Father. Now, 10 years later from that article, bringing it up to date, I wrote this idea down, and I was contemplating the ego, and what is the relationship of the ego to our big S self? The simple explanation diagrams ourselves as a torus shape, with the portal to the inflowing consciousness coming from the zero-point field at the middle of the donut. The unit of consciousness also floats in the metaversal sea, so our consciousness comes into ourselves both from the middle and it envelops us from the outside. If you are listening to this podcast on a podcast platform, you can go to my website, GnosticInsights.com and find this episode of Gnostic Insights, and there I will have diagrams to accompany what I'm saying to make this clearer for you if you are not familiar with the idea of the toroidal universe. I've lately been pondering the nature and location of what we call our ego. Ego is different than self. Self is the perfect one self that we all share. Self is a fractal of the fullness of God, reflecting the entirety of the Son's consciousness. Yet we are all different. So the differences amongst all of us second-order powers who live here in this manifested universe must lie in the differences of our egos. You see, if ourselves are all the same, well, what makes us different? And that part is the ego. The simple explanation has long proposed that we are different because of the shroud that drapes over the outside of our donut shapes. This shroud carries the memes that have attached to ourselves by way of karma and learning. It is the egoic shroud that interfaces with the world and with our neighbors. The shroud sits on the outside of our unit of consciousness, the way our skin sits on the outside of our bodies. The ego shroud is not necessarily a product of the fall. It is said that the eons of the fullness of God sit in a hierarchy that includes names, positions, and places. Therefore, we can infer that the eons know of their differences, which gives them each a unique point of view. The uniqueness of each eon is a recognizable trait that differentiates them from their neighbors in the fullness. It may be the case that this uniqueness is the origin of ego that makes each eon different from the next. However, within the body of the fullness, these differences do not cause divisions and disruptions because the fullness sits as one within the unified consciousness of the Son. If you picture a donut shape suspended in a medium made of pure consciousness, the Father, in Gnostic terms, or the metaverse in simple explanation terms, then the only thing that separates us from that pure consciousness is the egoic shroud that surrounds our unit of consciousness on the outside. Even then, within that skin, our personal unit of consciousness is not identical to the Father's consciousness because, like the Son, it is circumscribed by the shape of the torus. The Son contains the Father's consciousness in a contained yet limitless form. Outside of our manifested universe, there is no space or time. So even though the Son's consciousness has differentiated from the Father's, it is truly infinite. The ego sits on the skin of our unit of consciousness, learning and interacting with those around us. The ego protects us from the world. The ego collects our experiences and memes and holds them on its surface. From the outside, it looks to our neighbors as though we are only our ego, because the ego is opaque and it hides our internal, eternal spirit. This realization is reflected in common expressions. We intuitively recognize that people who are unaware of their spiritual dimension are considered superficial. We know when we come across people whose only interest is in their acquired possessions and accomplishments and learned beliefs, we suspect that they are all about surface appearances. We can tell that our interactions with them are only skin deep. We suspect their minds are easily influenced because their thoughts are collections of acquired memes stuck to their egos and not arising from deep in their souls out of reason or gnosis. So this is today's teaching, no more, no less. If you were unable to follow any portion of this teaching, then I highly recommend that you go back and review or listen for the first time to the beginning of the podcast episodes. You can find them by going to GnosticInsights.com, and on the homepage there, the menu tabs at the top, one of those tabs says the Gnostic Gospel Primer. And this contains the first 8 episodes of the Gnostic Insights podcast, and it steps you through the basic concepts of Gnosticism according to the Valentinian view of Gnosticism as presented in the tripartite tractate of the Nag Hammadi scriptures. Then after those first 8 episodes, I have kept the entire history of Gnostic Insights in order of how they were broadcast, and that is called the Complete Episodes Library. And there you will find all of the episodes in order so that you can see how the concepts unfold. Now, remember, I am not teaching you Gnosis because you cannot be taught Gnosis. Gnosis is everlasting information that pre-exists. The best we can do is remember the Gnosis that already is there. We were born with a certain remembrance of these things. According to the tripartite tractate, all second-order powers were brought into this world with a remembrance of the Father and the fullness of God. But we tend to forget it as we are caught up in this never-ending war down here with the forces of the demiurge and the fall. What we're doing here in Gnostic Insights is attempting to resurrect those memories, those remembrances. Plato called the memories anamnesis, which is the opposite of amnesis. Anamnesis, which is the same as remembering. So while it may appear to be that I am teaching you this Gnosis, I am not. I'm only trying to share with you the insights that I have gained through a lifetime of reading big books and then thinking about them. And now I am attempting to show you how the Gnosis that I have discovered might help you remember your own Gnosis. So this was a short episode, and I hope you take this extra time to go to the GnosticInsights.com website and begin to listen to the Gnostic Insights episodes in order from the beginning, because in that way, it will all make sense, I'm sure. So until next time, onward and upward, and God bless.